Hey, it's your girl Super Cindy reporting live from the corner of 183rd Street and 27th Avenue at Checkers in Miami Gardens. We got Gucci Mane, 2 Chainz, and Rick Ross. And we're here for the Buy Back the Block movement, where we raise up the community and support and love us.
We own the hood.
For real, though.
If you live by it, die by it, then,
run up your hood.
Okay. Yeah! We are live, son. Happy fucking New Year. Happy New Year, you intelligent, rebellious people, man. It is your boy, Doe Dubs. I came back for 2017. We are live in here. I know everybody like, nigga, it's damn near the 10th. Of January, where the fuck was you at a week ago? Listen, man, I understand that. Take some time. I edit these episodes myself. I'm dead, you know? So it takes me a little bit of time. But I'm here. It's 2017 and we are live. So welcome back, everybody, to the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast. This is episode 11. Now, give you guys, you know, some type of, to fill you guys in on what's been going on with me. First and foremost, I just dropped a book not too long ago, Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation. You'll hear commercials about it. You know, I got to promote myself big. That I recently authored. It's available right now at Amazon.com. Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation. That's exactly why I got my nigga Rick Ross, 2 Chainz, and Gucci. My nigga WAP on the intro music because we buying back the block, you feel me? This is what it's all about. Economic solutions, you feel me? Now, I've been telling y'all this shit. You go back to the whole, I think episode 4, my 4th episode, almost 2 years ago, however long, episode 4, I was talking about group economics. Cause that's what we should have been on, and now we getting on it even more and more. Our favorite rappers is buying a property. We are live. I'm happy about that shit. So that's why we here today. You dig what I'm saying? To talk about the book, you know, to speak some truth to power. When I say truth to power, I'm talking about black power. I'm talking the truth to all the black people, all the people out there who want it better for the black community. You know what I'm saying? I know it's many, many of us out there, so I'm very excited to get to it. It's just me this week, you know, because I'm not tripping over guests or nothing like that. But I'm pretty sure I do, you know, have some things in the pipeline. Wink, wink. Well, I'm going to have some guests, you dig? So just stay tuned for that. But for this episode, listen to your boy break down some things, drop some solutions for y'all, man. I'm real excited for y'all to hear it. You already know I try not to talk y'all ears off in the intro. As always, man, roll something, light something, and get ready for the Intelligent Rebel Squad.
I bought me a Checkers. Wing stop well invested, so Taco Bell left for breakfast. I seen a few M's, it's time to touch me that 100. So let's put up their money and let's go half on the Sonics. Yes, I feel lemon pepper. Angel wings with the feathers. If you feel like I feel, I pray you live rich forever.
Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation. So far, I have sold over 50 copies. I'm wild proud of that. I'm very, very proud of myself. And I'm very, very proud of the people who purchased copies, multiple copies. You know, everybody who has showed love and supported the literature. And just want to say thank you to everybody. You know, all of my friends, all of my family, all of the people who just, you know, follow me on Twitter. I really appreciate y'all, and I really hope y'all take heed to the words that I wrote in the book. It's very special to me, and that's one of the major reasons why I believed it was important for me to come back on the podcast front. It's not something that I didn't like to do anyway, you know what I'm saying? It's just that 2016 was very busy for me in so many different facets of business, so I just felt it was better for me to focus my time on other things and so many other aspects of my life. So I took a break from the podcast, but now I'm back. And what better way to come back than to talk about the newly published Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation by yours truly. You know, of course I go by Doe Dubs, but my actual name is A.R. Morton. Black America Inc. is important for so many reasons. For the past, let's say, 5 years, we have been all made aware of the oppression low income problems that face Black Americans every day. Police brutality, public housing, bad education, no wealth, etc., etc. So through this time, I went through that phase. I went through the same phase that everybody is going through, currently going through, especially the youth, where, let's just set up the timeline. What happened? First, Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman in Florida. And we watched the trial of George Zimmerman, which was really the trial of Trayvon Martin. And we saw how this man who in cold blood murdered Trayvon Martin got away with it. Then Mike Brown happened. Mike Brown was murdered by Officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson. We saw how that played out and how we didn't get justice. Then, collectively, Black Lives Matter happened. And now, this is where everybody, regardless of your background, regardless of whatever, if you were on Twitter, you were affected by Black Lives Matter. Period. Everybody was. I was, even though I don't even fuck with Black Lives Matter, to say that Black Lives Matter didn't do its job in the sense of awareness would be a lie. So regardless of George Soros, the scumbag that he is, funding Black Lives Matter, regardless of people like Sean King, DeRay, etc., who have pimped the emotions and the lives and the deaths of Black people for the past few years now. Despite all of that, what I can say about Black Lives Matter is that they made me more aware, and it made me want to act in my own way. In this time, everybody has changed. Everybody is more aware now. Everybody is a little bit more socially conscious about race and things of that nature. Now, for my journey, what I did, I had my anger stage where I'm blaming white people, where white people are the problem, white people this, white people that, white supremacy, white privilege, white, right? And this is where a lot of people still are. Then I saw a different type of mindset when it came to the likes of people like Fred Hampton. I'll never forget, it was his birthday on Twitter. And to be totally honest, before all of this has happened, I've heard of him, but I didn't know who Fred Hampton was. I never watched a clip. I never read a book, any of that. Side note, just want to make it clear that when it comes to me, Doe Dupes, I'm very statistical when it comes to America. Single parent home, dropped out of high school, sold drugs, teen parent, you know, low income, etc. So the average person like me, if we were fortunate enough to really get some good insight on the Black Panther Party, we were fortunate. But as far as the average, we really didn't care. We didn't know. We didn't read books. I hated reading as a kid. I hated math. I hated all of the things that would actually make me a great person in the coming years as a child. You know, even though I was selling drugs and shit, I really didn't care to do algebra. I remember leaving class to go sell drugs. I remember just me doing degenerate shit that would make me a statistic. I mean, getting locked up, all of that silly shit. So I'm getting hip to Fred Hampton, and I'm hearing his words, and I'm seeing the shit that he's doing. I'm seeing the programs that he worked in. I'm hearing his strategic views on Black liberation. And it really, really opened my eyes, because one of the things that really stuck with me that Fred Hampton says, that white power to white people, Black power to Black people, yellow power to yellow people, red power to red people. And then he talked about how there's only two sides of the coin, which is class, the rich and the poor. And the reason that the lower class hasn't gotten the upper class off its back is because of the systems that are in place. Now, this is coming from a young 20, he was murdered, betrayed by William O'Neill via the FBI when he was 21, murdered in cold blood. So this is somebody who's 19, 18, 20 years old, thinking and speaking like this. I'm like, shit, okay. That gave me a different perspective. Then I started to do more research in Black history. And what I began to see is that throughout Black American history, there's always been a Fred Hampton. There's always been a Malcolm X. There's always been a Marcus Garvey. There's always been a Harriet Tubman. So throughout the entire timeline of Black American history, we have people who, despite the current circumstances, looked at it in the face and said, fuck that. They looked at it and said, that's only the problem, and I am the solution. Whatever they may throw at me, whatever may be on paper, whatever the social construct may be, this is what I know. And he stood on it. Then, after getting game from all of my ancestors in the contemporary sense, I began to find other modern day 21st century Black Americans who also studied these people, who also believed that we were the solution and not the problem, who also believed that it wasn't up to white people to change our condition. And when I found these people, while others were blaming white people, while others were complaining, while others were oppressed in their mind, while others were just focused on the problem, they began to call people like us Hotep in a bad way. And ironically, Hotep is an ancient African term for peace, among other definitions. It's one of those words that's been highly used just throughout the dynasties, meaning different things, but more so the core of it has always been positive. It's the reason why I began my book with Hotep, everyone. Now, I'm in a space to where I mix all of the Black history that I learned, mixed all of the other history that I learned, and then mixed the application of prosperity in America. And what I came up with was a Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation, because it really details on actual possibility. You know, I tell this story all the time. I've told it on Twitter a couple times when it came to the Chinese and how they immigrated to America. Now, I know a lot of people, especially on the faux pro-Black side, you know, they tell me that, oh, you can't compare struggles. You can't compare immigration to the Black struggle for this reason and that reason. It was way worse and things like that. Well, what I say to that before I even continue is that first and foremost, when we're dealing with the worst and the most inhumane form of oppression, slavery, I want it to be very clear and known that Black Americans absolutely had slaves and profited from them. Some had dozens, others had hundreds. It's fucked up, you know, because it's not better or worse because it's a Black person who's doing it. I'm against slavery, period, no matter who does it. So when I hear that, I begin to see that slavery is not, quote unquote, a white oppression tool, solely, at least. So because of that, I got to look at it and say that this was an economic thing. You get a kite, you know, I use this example too. You get a kite from London saying that there's free labor and free land available. Come on over to America. As a poor person in London, you're going to go. I ran a poll and over 80% of the people said that they would go. So we know that. And that's true for the day. For the day that, you know, slavery was happening and it's still happening, you know, around the world. A lot of it goes to make our clothing, our goods, you know, not things of that nature. But anyway, we'll get into that in a later episode. When we have that, we have to understand that we can't allow slavery and the history of slavery be forgotten, but we can't allow it to be smudged and lied on, and we for damn sure can't allow it to stop us from prospering as a people in 2016 and beyond, or 2017, honestly. That's what I'm dropping this. So, yeah, we have to let that go as a reason why we can't get ahead. We can't allow Jim Crow and all of these other things, because you have to understand that there were prominent people. I mean, every era of American history, there have been prosperous black people. Now, you can give whatever reason, they was bourgeoisie, they was this and that, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is that that bourgeoisie shit is only through the perception of the black people who participate in it and the black people who judge it. Even when Brother Malcolm said it, you have to understand that he didn't think that they were better or lesser than him, but that's how they felt. They felt that they were better. And at the end of the day, if you are trying to succeed, you're going to think better of yourself, because Malcolm did. If you're going to compare, you know, just logically, logistically, you have to say that the same people that he was running and dealing with and stayed in that life, they look at him as bourgeoisie in the same definition, but in a different context. Because not he didn't come from the street and start shitting on niggas in the street. He came from the street and started to uplift them, but put himself in a better position than a nigga on the street. When we're talking about the black bourgeoisie, we're talking about black people who came up in the world and then started shitting on other black people. It's totally different. So when we're talking about every prominent black person, we cannot label all of them bourgeoisies. This is impossible. There's people who got it out of the mud, just like you got people getting it out of the mud in 2016. I'm one of them. So the Chinese, when they came, there was law in place. Actually, of the time, it was the only immigration law, and it was called the Chinese Exclusion Act. I think it was 1882. And in this, of course, no Chinese people. And then throughout the years, they added more Asian nations into this clause, into this law, saying that they couldn't come here. And, you know, as humans would do as humans do, they came, and the ones that were here, throughout history, went through a bunch of oppression, went through a bunch of abuse, bombings, beatings, attacks, you know, you name it. And moving forward, what they did was looked at the system, seen what they could, you know, contribute to that system, and got paid. And this is, of course, in the form of Chinese food stores. And what they did was they took dishes that they knew to make back home and Americanized them, you know, filled them up with a bunch of sugar, salts, you know, real heavy savory flavors, a lot more meat, you know, things of that nature to make it, you know, palatable for the American diet. And in the time that they were doing this, they were being picketed, they were being bombed, like I said. So you'll have people who totally hate Chinese people but love Chinese food. Now, in today's terms, in the social justice warrior realm, that's a bad thing. That you can't just eat my food. You can't just dance to my music. You can't just, and paying for all of this, you can't just pay to dance to my music. You can't just pay to eat my food. You gotta like me too. And I'm here to tell you that in business, that's not how that shit works. Business owners every day deal with bullshit ass customers, angry ass other fucking customers. Like it's that's just what the sphere of business is sometimes. You got shitty customers. So if your criteria for somebody to buy something from you is that they have to like you as well, you're never going to make any money. You're never going to get wealthy. That's just not how it goes, okay? Everybody has their own opinions, and everybody has their own money to spend. And if you don't fuck with my ideology, I didn't ask you to. I wanted to buy this fucking burrito from you. That's it. I didn't need a fucking lecture on Mexican history. That's just what it is, okay? I don't care. At that moment of transaction, I don't give a shit about your history, dog. I don't. I want the fucking burrito. So you had people who hated Chinese people buying Chinese food. And after a while, you have to look at they have to look at their own hypocrisy and shut the fuck up. You understand? So you can't go around parading hating Chinese people, but you forever eating their food. Let them come to that realization, because they keep spending money with you. You don't have to force it down their throats. They'll realize it. That how can I hate this person and I'm giving them hundreds of dollars a year? It just can't happen that way. You understand? So that's how the Chinese in 2016 have five times as many Chinese food stores than a McDonald's in America. McDonald's is an American staple. That shit is as American as apple pie. But Chinese, the Chinese have come over and created five times the amount of that. Five times the amount of the Big Mac. Because they understood that as long as they have something to offer to the system, they will always be good. Now, when we're talking about offering to the system, nobody offers to the system more than black people. Do you understand me, man? Everything that we hold precious to us in this fucking country is totally pushed by black Americans. Period. Sports, black Americans. Entertainment, black Americans. Motherfucking labor, black Americans. Inventions, sciences, you name it, whether in its inception or its current mold right now, black Americans have been the face of that shit. They have been the sweat. They have been the muscles of this shit. And because of their upbringing, their teachings, the way they feel about themselves and everything else, their environment, they believe their greatest position is to be an employee. Now, there's nothing wrong with being an employee. You need them. Employees are very important. I plan on hiring thousands, if not millions of people in my lifetime because I really want to help. I really care about my people. But if you're going to be the customer and the employee of this system, you have to understand that you're fueling the same system that you're complaining about. When you are aggregating your funds into coffers that do not have your best interests at heart, you can't blame anybody else but yourself. In the same way that those white racist people who hated Chinese people but loved Chinese food had to face the fact that they were hypocrites and had to shut the fuck up, black people have to look in the mirror and say the same thing. How can you hate white supremacy and you shop at Walmart, which has their name in so much legislation that goes against the average American, the black American, et cetera, et cetera, and still be mad at the system? How can you shop and eat at McDonald's when they use prison labor, an industry that is disproportionately representative of black men and women? How can you fund these entities, these corporations, these businesses, and then still complain about the system? How can you fund these corporations and these entities and then surpass the black business, the local business, and complain about the system? These practices are the same things that we want other people to realize that they're doing. This is the reason why you have these fake pro-black people who benefit from the system more than they're marginalized from it, off the strength, or at least one part of the strength, because they get to complain about it. Imagine if you could make money from your home by complaining about your landlord. That you can actually get dollar credits off of your rent as long as you kept complaining about your landlord. Your landlord is so rich that he's able to give you tax credits. Credits just for complaining about him. You know why? Because the more you talk about him, the more tenants he'll get. So you keep talking about how shitty he is. You keep talking about how oppressive he is. You keep talking about how great he is in the sense that he can own so many things and oppress so many people. You're going to have the people who don't believe you do business with him. And even if you're telling the truth, they're going to have to see it for themselves. And you're fucking up the money. Because the better solution was to be able to own your own shit and be your own landlord and actually make money on the opposite end of the same system that you think hates you so much. Instead of being a tenant, you become a landlord. This is very important. You have to understand that complaining gets you nothing. You have to understand that protesting in the street without actual strategic plans, legislation that you want passed, without actual funding that you need for your movement, without these things, you're just doing nothing. You're wasting time. We have 43 million people in a growing population that are willing to work, listen, and do the right thing. But what we cannot do is focus on the problem. We have to only focus on the solution. That's where we're at right now. Just want to take a quick break from the show to let everybody know about Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation by yours truly. Black America Inc. illustrates and details socioeconomic solutions that everybody in Black America can implement today. It is one of the things that Black America has been missing for a while now. Solutions. We've been talking for years about the problem. We've been talking about the problems every day on social media, amongst ourselves, our friends and family. Today, 2017 and beyond, is the time for solutions. Being able to acquire land, property, good health, good wealth, being able to love your brother and sister more than ever, being able to love your children more than ever, to be able to hug your wife and love your wife and hug your husband and love your husband more than ever. However you get down in the world, Black America Inc. is for you, because it's all about solutions, it's all about upliftment, it's all about togetherness, it's all about unity. No labels, no identities, no nothing. Just straight solutions, stories, even a black business directory. You even have a wealth building budget that you can abide by and learn to use and configure to your own income. Black America Inc. is for everybody in every shade. But of course, the focal point is in my own backyard, the black community. I'm very proud of it. To get your copy, go to Amazon.com. Simply type in Black America Inc. You dig? We have paperback and Kindle. Get you a copy, and once you have it, make sure you leave a review. Make sure you show some love, man, and refer it to, you know, friends and family, and spread the word, man. Black America Inc. Now back to the show. A lot of people tell me, "Doh, you got to give people time, yo. We 400 years behind. Plus Jim Crow, plus this. All of these years, they killed our leaders." I'm like, granted, I understand. But let me ask you this. In the same sense, so let's just say you're behind on rent or you're behind on assignments in class. If you're behind, do you party as much as the people who are not? Do you spend money as much as the people who are not behind on their rent? Or do you save and then you make sure you pay off that rent? You focus more on paying off that rent debt. You focus more on getting your assignments done. How is it that black people are 400 years behind, but we party like we're 400 years ahead? That we are so ahead of the curve that we have the luxury to party every weekend, spend money, copious amounts of money every holiday. Are we not still disenfranchised on Christmas? Are we not still oppressed on the 4th of July? Are we not still broke when it comes to Thanksgiving? Is all of the things that we complain about all year round, do they go away just because we're having a good time? I saw a video of these little children, and I want to say Syria, one of these places that's in turmoil right now, Aleppo, where these little boys and these children were playing in a makeshift water hole that was created by a bomb. Now, because we're dealing with the innocence of children, that is totally fine. But if I would saw men and women in there playing with the children in a crater created by a bomb, then it would be a different situation. I'm not judging the people out in Aleppo. I'm using them as an example. We don't have the time. The children may have the time right now because they're innocent. But anybody that's 17, 18, 19, and they're doing degenerate shit that's holding the people back, we as adults have to turn around and be like, yo, this is the right thing to do. So if that applies to the higher teens, you know that applies double for the adults. 21, 22, 23, 24. We have been lied to and we've been lying to each other that in our 20s we're supposed to be fucking off, when most of the wealthy people have been working their ass off since their teens and making sure that they did have something to leave to their great-grandchildren once they were gone. And they had that mindset in their early 20s, in their early 30s. This is how generational wealth is built. Discipline, sacrifice, and application. If black people are 400 years behind, we need to be working 400 times as hard to succeed. Not to break even, because we have been doing more than break even. That's why we can spend $1 trillion. But in that, if we're going to have all of this progress, we need to do our part. You're going to have a bunch of scholars, a bunch of people who think they're so fucking smart, but haven't built any wealth outside of making it in a white, quote unquote, supremacist system. You'll be hard pressed to find the same intellectuals building on an urban level, building on a black level, where they get their prestige from the black community. They get their degrees from the white community, which is fine. But do not use that as a reason to why you can't get ahead. There's no way you can come from a predominantly white institution and still talk about white supremacy. Because when we're talking about white supremacy in its totality, it's only to advance the white race. So now if we're talking about a white supremacist system, meaning that everything that is institutional in it is to push the white race, and you're going to a white institution, what does that say about you if you're so pro-black? This is where I'm at with it now. Where's the mirror for black America? Where are the people who are going to hold black America accountable for the things that they say and do? If white supremacy is so bad, why are you going to their schools? If white supremacy is so bad, why are you working in their factories? If white supremacy is so bad, why are you contributing $1 trillion to it? And then, in the face of that, get mad when other black people who look like you require, expect, or ask for more capital from you. If you are so against the establishment, why do you profit from it so damn much and you love it and you hold it close to you so damn tight? This is what I want people to start asking. I needed to get this out because I wanted to make it perfectly clear where I'm at now. You listen to old episodes and you hear my progression, and this is my latest plateau in my life. That black Americans, all 43 million of us, including the ones that's fucked up in the system, and everybody, I love everybody. But before we can start pointing the finger at a system, we need to first learn it, know the names of the people that we want to hold accountable, and then do our part to change our condition. There will be no other progress made. We'll be walking in a circle. Everybody was hyping for Obama. 8 years of a nigga. 8 years of a nigga, and we still haven't gotten one fucking iota closer to where we need to be. And I found it wild that all it took was mass hysteria through the media to get Donald Trump, a motherfucking reality star, get y'all so riled up that you want to start actually implementing some shit. Now, because Donald Trump is going to be in office, we need to do this, that. We need to buy black. We need to bank black. All of these solutions has been around for as long as the problem has been here. Because like I told you, since before Harriet Tubman, we've been on. So moving forward, all of the things that I just said needs to be addressed in households, in communities, in cities, in states, and throughout the country. No more pacifying, no more bullshit assistance, no more pats on the back for speaking eloquently about oppression, no more complaints, no more excuses, no more infighting. Fuck all of that. Let's get to these solutions. Yes, yes. Just taking a break from my rant, cursing y'all out for a second to let y'all know just the importance of Black America Inc. I mean, honestly, y'all, for too long, man, we have been focused on the problems and not talking about the solutions. And I really felt like it was important for me to write a book or write something for the people, just to put it in their minds that there is a solution to all of their problems. I know a lot of people, especially from various different backgrounds, you know, in Black America, are bewildered, discouraged, downtrodden, and just overall upset about what's going on in the current state of America. Yes, we do have great things happening, you know, behind the scenes and concurrent to the problems. But at the same time, I do know people are hurt and discouraged and dealing with a lot of trauma. And Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation, is here to fix those problems. I'm not going to sit here and say that I have all of the answers, but most of the things that I've been saying in that book and been saying on Twitter and been saying on just various forms of media is to let all of y'all know that there is, for every problem, there is a solution. And this is where we're at now. And I'm proud of everybody who is looking towards the solutions now. One of the major things that you can purchase for your household, for yourself, and for others and be able to help other people is Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation. It's very important for the culture. It's very important for the people. And at this point in our lives, we should only be focused on the solutions. That's the reason this podcast is here. That's the reason why I'm even talking to y'all. I love every single last one of y'all, regardless of gender identity, sexual identity, or any of those things that has been used to divide us for too long now. I love everybody, and I want everybody to take advantage of these solutions. So make sure you get you a copy of Black America Inc., a $1 trillion nation, right now on Amazon.com, available in paperback and Kindle format. Make sure you go out there and get you a copy, man, and make sure you leave a review. Thank you so much. Now back to the show. Black America Inc., man. A $1 trillion nation. So let's get to the money. First and foremost, I want to lay out a great solution. Bank Black. Open up a bank account with One United. Open up with a bank account, a Black bank account in your city. Keep funding it. Keep using it. Once you start banking Black, you'll see the assets grow in our Black banks. And that's when we can start using them as institutions to fund renovation projects, business projects, you know, residential and commercial real estate. We can actually start buying up property in our neighborhoods. I encourage everybody listening that in your lifetime, you need to definitely have some property. You need to definitely get some real estate. I did 75 hours in a real estate course just to give me some good fundamentals. I took the test, passed it with flying colors. I'm proud of myself. I'll be getting my real estate license this year, 2017. So that'll just give me a more decoration when it comes to selling and buying real estate. Investing is very important. That's the foundation of wealth. Most wealthy people, even in the people that I was in class with, you know, they definitely say that real estate and business ownership is the foundation of wealth building. So if you plan on having millions and billions of dollars and you're not an entertainer, and even if you are an entertainer, but if that's not your primary goal, is to be, you know, singer, dancer, rapper, you know, actor, etc., you definitely need to start investing in real estate. Definitely need to start investing in stocks if you can. Definitely get an education on that. And that's another side note. Like, please understand that these financial missions or these financial goals are all contingent upon you getting an education on it. You know, there's some free resources, there's some that you have to pay for. But when it comes to the pursuit of your wealth building, so you can create infrastructure for your household and your community, those are necessary. And moving forward, we'll be able to create our own real estate schools and, you know, things of that nature, to where we have it already inside of our community, that it's not even something that you got to go to the outskirts of your state to go to and things of that nature, because that's what I had to do. I would like to go to a real estate course that's, you know, in my neighborhood. So we need to start, you know, thinking for the future in that sense. Saving is definitely important. One of the things that I've been learning, you know, things like Robert Kiyosaki, you know, the author of Rich Dad, you know, he definitely doesn't favor saving. But me personally, it's never wrong to have that nest egg. It's never wrong to have that emergency fund. So please save your money. In my book, I have an actual wealth building budget where you can look at your paychecks, look at your income, and start to actually use it to build wealth. You know, what you're making currently. One of the major things, first and foremost, when you do get paid, you know, start focusing on your credit card debt. Start focusing on your bills, things like that. Make sure you're up to date. If you are living by yourself, definitely think about taking on a roommate to where, you know, you can both live together, take care of their financial responsibilities, get the bills paid, get your debt brought down. And then together you guys can, you know, go half on an investment property where you'll have maybe a 2 or 3 multi-family unit. You'll live in one, they'll live in one, or you guys live in one together and rent out the other one or the other two. So that way you'll have your tenants paying down the mortgage on the spot, and you'll get some
some actual cash flow, some positive cash flow from it. That's exactly what I'm doing this year. I'm getting a multifamily property and renting out the other units just to create another stream of income. And throughout the year, I definitely plan on, by the end of the year, I want to have at least, 10 properties, if I can shake that. When you're thinking about your food budget, which is another budget that Black Americans definitely indulge in, it's in my book. You can actually get the actual numbers and figures. But as far as meat, dairy, and processed foods, and eating out, Black Americans, spend a lot. Black Americans make up 87% of the overall U.S. retail economy. Of course, this is not the same economy that deals with, military spending and things of that nature. This is just retail. People going to stores and stuff. Black people go to the stores 9 times as much as anybody else in this country. That's a fact. Because of that, we have to conclude that Black people are buying a lot of meat, buying the most meat, buying the most dairy, etc., which automatically equals into all of the health problems that we deal with: stroke, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, you name it. Black Americans have it. I mean, it's a sad fact. So when we're looking at our grocery bills, we definitely want to cut back on meat. You don't have to order, you don't have to eradicate it completely. I have. It's just better for you. But I understand that people have their, their own thing and they want to eat meat, so that's fine. Just make sure that you're watching how much you're spending on meat, dairy, and processed foods. Start focusing your budget on produce, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, legumes, spices, seasonings, herbs, roots, etc., etc. Those will definitely help your body, and it would definitely help your bank account. So overall, from this episode on out, we're just going to be delving into more solutions. I'm going to have guests and all of that. It's going to be the same format. I love what I do, but I definitely wanted to just give some quick tips and to shout out the book, shout out everybody who bought the book. Again, the title of the book is Black America Inc., A $1 trillion Nation. It's available on Amazon.com right now. Make sure you get you a copy. And it's going to be lit. Because now, when you look at my old episodes, you see how I titled them. And you see that I've always been on this stuff. I had this podcast since 2014. I've just been off and on. My inconsistencies bit me in the ass. But it's all good. It's nothing to get your following back. It's nothing to get the audience, especially when you come up with new material. I've grown so much since my first episode with my wife. She's now my wife. When we recorded it, we were just dating. That was just my lady. That was my love. And, we are now actually getting married this year. So that lets you know how much growth has happened since the first episode. So please, stay tuned for, next week's episode. Don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be live. It's going to be full of solutions. It's definitely going to pertain to my book in some way. Look out for me. Follow me on Twitter, Dodoobs, DoeDoobs. So, yeah, man. And, we out. Shit. It's dope. So, IVXX, nigga. Shit. Y'all listening to episode 11. Talking to y'all, bringing in y'all to heaven. My nigga, I'm feeling like a reverend. Yeah, I'm running, I got my engine reverend. I'm freestyling at the end of this. And now I'm really giving. Yes! That was episode 11, man. I'm glad you guys took that journey with me and listened to me and hear me talk. I hope that was helpful for y'all. Because, I only do it to help. I only do it to bring solutions. Yeah, I pop my shit. Yeah, I be talking on my shit or whatever. But at the same time, I really do love my people and I want nothing but the best. You know what I'm saying? Yo, this beat is so fire, though. Woo! Yeah. But anyway, man, thank you guys for listening. It's the Intelligent Rebel Squadcast. We got so much more this year in store, community events, and you know, all of that other stuff that I'm planning, man. I'm very excited, so I want you all to be a part of it, you know what I'm saying? And at this point, everything is about the solution, man. Fuck the problems, fuck the arguing, fuck the identity politics, fuck all of that other respectability politics, all that other bullshit, man. We all about the solution from here on out, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Just as an afterthought, I just want to let you guys know that regardless of what you may, you know, disagree with, understand that this is all coming from love. This is all coming from care. This is all coming from living it myself. You dig what I'm saying? Instead of practicing what I preach, I just preach what I practice. Everything that I tell y'all, I'm doing myself. So you never got to mistake or misconstrue what I'm saying. I can show you my life, you know what I'm saying? I can show you my garden where I grew my own food all spring and summer, and I saved hundreds of dollars. You dig what I'm saying? I can show you how my health has gotten better going plant-based. I can show you how my bank account has enlarged based upon my spending habits being changed and things of that nature. So I just want y'all to know that we always out here going for the solutions. So as always, man, stay intelligent and stay rebellious. Squad.